Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
The Volume.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. So, lots of great odds for the second round. If you still think the Nuggets are going to come back and beat the Timberwolves, you can get them right now at plus 105. Thunder Mavs starts here shortly. And if you like the Mavs to win that series, you can get them at minus 105. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get 150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code HOOPS. That's H-O-O-P-S. That's code HOOPS for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario, bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Hoops Tonight here at The Volume. Today is a mailbag day. Got about a dozen questions. Going to be bouncing around the league. You guys know the drill. Before we get started, subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel so you don't miss any more of our videos. Follow me on Twitter at @_JasonLT so you guys don't miss show announcements. Don't forget about our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts under Hoops Tonight. And then keep dropping mailbag questions in the YouTube comments so we can keep hitting them throughout the season. And last but not least, before we get started, I want to talk to you guys about Game Time. There has never been a better time for you to go out and see an NBA game in person during these playoffs. Incredible intensity, incredible physicality, incredible stakes. The star power is off the charts. We're watching new young stars rising right before our eyes. I saw that crazy stat the other day that six of the starters among the 40 starters in the eight remaining teams are above 30. So like the young generation's here. We got to get out and see him in person. Game Time's got an amazing experience. I used him earlier this year to go see a game at McHale Center. Got a great deal on a last minute ticket. Got a great seat. It was a great experience. They have all in pricing, so you don't have to worry about going to check out and getting surprised by any sort of fees. They've got an easy process. You can check out in as few as two taps, and you get a great view of your seat within the app, so you know exactly what you're getting yourself into before you show up to the arena. They also have flash deals and zone deals where you can pick a specific section and then Game Time picks the seats for you in that section for extra savings. It's a great experience. I want you guys to check it out. Take the guesswork out of buying professional basketball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account and use code HOOPS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code HOOPS. That's H-O-O-P-S for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, let's talk some basketball. So, first question. The first two are going to be going over some of the revisionist history. Well, the first one, I should say, is going to be going over some of the revisionist history around Nikola Jokic. So, why was everyone so quick to crown Jokic after one season? And if he only gets one chip when it's all said and done, how in the world is he ranked in the top 20 ahead of Kevin Durant and other greats like Hakeem, Dirk, etc., who beat way better teams on their way to the finals? So first of all, there's multiple ways to look at an all-time great during their trajectory. We're not talking, like, for instance, Ant. When I say Ant is better than Jason Tatum, I don't mean all-time. Tatum has obviously accomplished more during his time in the NBA than Anthony Edwards has, right? But I'm looking at this specific window in time, the level that Ant's playing at, which I think is a higher level than any level that Tatum has reached. And in addition to that, there's a trajectory with him. And we're talking about his potential and what he could be in the future, right? Same thing goes for Jokic. Like, within that season last year, you got to look at that three-year window. He goes MVP, MVP, kind of punts the MVP, but in that season dominates his way through the NBA playoffs. Now, one of the things that I think is ridiculous in terms of the revisionist history, everyone's acting like that playoff run last year was lucky for Denver in terms of the types of matchups. One of the big things that I see is people saying, like, win totals, like, oh, he never faced a team that won this many games. Win totals are one of the most What's the right way to word this? Win totals are deceiving in terms of how good a team is, because you play 82 games against the rest of the league. If the league is more stacked with talent, everybody's win totals drop. So, for instance, in the Western Conference this year, go look at the top of the Eastern Conference, the records there, and their records versus the West. Then look at the Western Conference. They're all beating the hell out of each other. They all are struggling to get up into that 60-win range because you're just playing better teams night in and night out. And if you actually look at what happened last year, the Lakers, were they a play-in team? Yes, but they were a play-in team because they had to trade Russell Westbrook midseason and LeBron James and Anthony Davis both missed significant chunks of time. That was a damn good team that the Nuggets dominated. That Suns team, were they patched together at the deadline? Yeah. Were they not as good as this year's Suns team? Yeah, but that still was Kevin Durant, Devin Booker playing at like an insanely high level. That was a really, really good team that they beat. Minnesota, the same kind of Timberwolves, obviously without Naz Reid and without Jaden McDaniels, but a very big, physically imposing team that had some matchup problems that they presented to Denver that they beat. And then in the NBA Finals, that's a Miami Heat team that typically kind of hangs around the middle to bottom portion of the standings in the regular season. But it's Jimmy, it's Bam, it's Eric Spoelstra. That is a legit, there's a reason why they beat everybody along the way. There's a reason why they went up 3-0 on Boston, that super talented Boston team. There's a reason why they beat the Bucks, even with Giannis's injuries. That is a very good team. And so, again, not all playoff runs are the same. This one is certainly tougher than last year's, but let's not rewrite history. Jokic was, he was the MVP, then he was the MVP again. He literally won a playoff series without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., beat a good Portland Trailblazers team without his two secondary scorers, right? That last year, like 2022, took a game off the team that won the championship, the Warriors, without Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr. And then last year, he ran roughshod over everybody. The numbers were off the charts. There was like a simple basketball dominance that you could see. And even going into this season, there was no player that I watched this year that I thought played better basketball than Nikola Jokic. Now, here's the deal. For two games against the Minnesota Timberwolves, Jokic has not been nearly good enough. And there's going to be another set of conversations we need to have if that trend continues throughout the series. That will have a larger impact on maybe his all-time recognition, right? But that doesn't change what happened in the last 3 years. Jokic has been dominant for a while. He's having a rough moment now. Also, stop pretending that doesn't happen. Bad moments happen for all of the all-time greats. Michael Jordan was eliminated from the playoffs in 1995. Kobe Bryant didn't even make the playoffs, even though he's a three-time champion and lost in the first round once or twice, I think. He had a rough stretch there in the mid-2000s, right? Like, LeBron James missed the playoffs in 2019. LeBron James, embarrassing moment in the 2011 NBA Finals. The down marks are part of the story too, But it's like, as the story kind of gets told, you zoom out and you look at the full picture. But let's not rewrite history. Jokic still had an unbelievably dominant stretch of basketball from 2021 through 2023. Next question. When is the time to criticize the best player in the world for being the worst defender on the court by a mile? I won't go into more detail about this because we did a whole rant on it yesterday. So you can find that on our YouTube feed. If you go a little bit further back, it's in the film session from game two. But yeah, you're right. Jokic just had a really bad defensive playoff run. He was mostly good in the playoff run last year. He had some rough moments protecting the paint against the Lakers. But for the most part, I thought Jokic had a pretty damn good playoff run last year in terms of the defensive end of the floor. Hasn't done nearly a good enough job this year. And regardless of how you feel about him being double teamed or whatever offensive factors might be at play, Jokic is a big problem in the Denver defense right now in this Minnesota matchup. So he simply has to be better. And I think that's totally fair. Again, not going to go into more detail there because we already did a full rant on that yesterday. Next question. What are the music posters on your wall and what concerts are on your docket for the coming year? I'm thinking one must be Dead & Co, the Turtles jam in with the 2021 date, but what is the one above your left shoulder? So this one is Dead & Co. That was from a concert in Phoenix that I went to. I've been to three Dead & Co shows, two in Phoenix, and then I went to one in San Francisco last year, the final tour one. I was there for the final night, the drone show overlooking the bay. That was literally just an unbelievable show, and there's so many good songs in that set as well. This is actually another Dead & Company show, just a poster that I had made. So Dead & Company, I'm definitely a Deadhead. That's my favorite kind of music to play on the guitar. I love the things I like about it is it's like really challenging in terms of the improv side of it. There's like a chord progression type of thing that you see in Dead & Company music that is a really fun kind of shift back and forth as you're soloing over it that I've found challenging as I try to learn how to play at a higher level. Other bands that I like kind of listened to growing up and now, the Allman Brothers were a big one for me growing up. Nowadays, like Gary Clark Jr., the Derek Trucks Band, Warren Haynes is a guy that I've always liked. Marcus King is a guy that I've always liked. So like kind of like modern blues. I'm just a big fan of like improvisational guitar playing. That to me is my passion when it comes to music. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. So, lots of great odds for the second round. If you still think the Nuggets are going to come back and beat the Timberwolves, you can get them right now at +105. Thunder Mavs starts here shortly. And if you like the Mavs to win that series, you can get them at -105. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get 150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code HOOPS. That's HOOPS. That's code HOOPS for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Hey, Jason, love the pod. Wanted to know your thoughts on the Lakers offseason. How do they improve the roster without gutting it? Markkanen is my dream scenario, but his price is a king's ransom. Is the best bet to try to improve at the margins and hope a new coach helps? Thanks for supporting the show. So let's dive into this a little bit. The Lakers have several needs, in my opinion. First, they need front court size. They could really use a two big look that works, where they can play LeBron, AD, and then another big that brings a lot of size and athleticism to the table. Basically, just imagine that as a high quality backup center. Their best look will always be LeBron and AD at the 4 and 5, but I just want to see them have a look where they can go big and it works. And again, it's not going to be easy to find, and I think centers are going to be at a premium this summer, but that's the first need. Two, they need a starting caliber two-way player at both the 2 and the 3. Now, I think Jared Vanderbilt could be that at the 3. I think he needs another full training camp of learning how to run 5 out, but he already kind of showed that he could in the 8 games before he got hurt this year. He averaged 11 points per game on 66% from the field. He was super active as a screener and a roller and as a cutter and as an offensive rebounder. So I think Jared Vanderbilt could be the 3 in that case. He's also just a really good rebounder in general and massively raises the physical profile of the Lakers. All of the offensive limitations he had the previous year, they were in 4 out, situations, spread pick and roll, post up stuff where Vanderbilt was just sitting in the corner. And that obviously is going to expose his inability to shoot the basketball. But I think Vanderbilt could be the three if he stays healthy, if he gets a full training camp learning how to run five out. So I think you have to focus at that in terms of the offseason, more at the two. Who are you going to find as an upgrade at the two? And then the third issue is they need to find someone who can beat high-level defenders off the dribble more consistently. LeBron James is really the only guy on the team that when he's engaged is like a really good downhill force, but he's not engaged all the time, and he's going to be 40 less than halfway through the season next year. So that's not enough. Anthony Davis needs to bully underneath the basket. He's not a real slasher. And then Austin and D'Lo, they need a ball screen and a drop coverage in order to actually get downhill towards the rim. So they just need somebody to fill that hole. So again, a real secondary big that can play alongside LeBron and AD or anchor units off the bench, or if AD gets hurt for a chunk of time and you need someone to kind of anchor that center position, got to have a good athletic, big, defensive-minded center. We'll go over some options here in a minute. Two, starting caliber players that can play both ends of the floor at the two and three, and then three, someone who can beat high-level defenders off the dribble. So then we have to look at resource management. You'll have the mid-level exception. You'll have veteran minimums. You don't get the biannual exception because you just used it on Taurean last year. And then you have draft picks. And in addition to draft picks, you've got several middling salaries that you can pair up, right? Like Rui, Austin, Gabe, and Vando are all making between 10 and 20 million next year. And if D'Angelo Russell picks up his option, you'll have another $19 million salary chunk. So with that all being said, this would be my dream scenario. If I could call Atlanta and trade Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent, and let's call it two first-round picks for DeJounte Murray, I'm getting a good two-way player that can defend at the point of attack and also a guy who can really beat people off the dribble. That's one of his best traits, and he's coming off of the best jump shooting season of his career. He's a guy that I think fills that need of like two-way player plus a little bit more star power, also in a more achievable way in terms of the expense of it all. Then I would sign a center with the mid-level exception. You know, I was having a debate with one of my buddies about this today on Twitter. Like, you got this mid-level exception. Do you try to target a wing, someone like a Tobias Harris? Or do you look for more at the center position? And this is where I think if Jared Vanderbilt is healthy and functioning within the five-out offense, I think he could be equally impactful as a Tobias Harris. So that's why I kind of lean more towards the center position. Now, it's going to be an overpay. Everyone in the league is going to be overpaying for size this summer because they're watching what we're watching on the TV. They're watching what Minnesota's doing. They're watching what Denver did to the Lakers. They know that even just New York with like OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, and Isaiah Hartenstein, just size at the guard position too. Everyone's going to be going after size this offseason. So it's going to be expensive, but I would look more for the defensive end of the floor. Like again, athleticism and size more than offensive skill. The dream would be Andre Drummond, but I think he's going to be too expensive. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like Philly, who's going to have a lot of cap space and knows that they're not going to play Joel Embiid, a ton of games next year. And in general, just wants to kind of have insurance on that front. I think a team like Philly is going to jump in and offer a ton of money to a guy like Andre Drummond. Xavier Tillman is like an achievable kind of guy that I look at that spot. He's big. He's strong. He could slide his feet pretty well. He can shoot it a little bit. You might be able to get him for a little bit less than the mid-level exception, but to me, he's an example of an achievable kind of center you can put next to LeBron and AD to increase your size profile. If you pull that off, you end up with a starting lineup that looks like Austin Reeves, DeJounte Murray, Jared Vanderbilt, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. That is two excellent perimeter defenders in DeJounte Murray and Jared Vanderbilt, an awesome pick and roll defender in Anthony Davis, probably the best in the league, depending on who you ask. And then LeBron, who can be a really, really, really good low man when he's engaged. And Austin, who's a good team defender, who demonstrated he can guard at the point of attack this year. He just shouldn't have to. And I think if he's your third best perimeter defender and he's slotted in those types of matchups, he could be a really impactful defensive player. Not to mention, he'll have more legs to be able to carry more on the offensive end of the floor. Then you'd also have a big look, right? Because whoever you got at the center position at the MLE, whether it's Drummond or Tillman, you got a guy that you can use there. And then off the bench, maybe you can talk D'Lo into staying and being your sixth man. But the Lakers might end up losing him for nothing. It's something you got to be prepared for. Christian Wood opted in. My guess is they'll probably end up being able to re-sign Max Christie and maintain roster control of him. And then you round out the rest of the roster with veteran minimum contracts. You might be able to keep Spencer Dinwiddie, Torian Prince, guys like that I'd be targeting. That, I think, is a more versatile, big two-way roster that can do more damage in the NBA playoffs. Then from there, you're right, new coaching staff. And the big one for me is focus on accountability from day one. Teams that ease their way into the regular season and try to flip the switch when they get to the postseason, they never win. They never win unless they're the defending champs, which this Laker team very much is not. So I would look at really a coach that's going to lean into accountability from day one to breed a championship culture in the team from the first day of training camp through to the end of the season. We'll talk more about that when we get into the offseason, but that's kind of my initial thoughts on the Laker offseason.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoops takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Best teams fit-wise to win a chip for LeBron to join. So again, I don't think LeBron's leaving. I think he's staying with the Lakers. And I think the main reason there is I think he knows Anthony Davis is a real playoff weapon and he's not going to find too much better than that out there if he looks around. But if you were to leave, I would look at teams that could use an upgraded power forward, but that also wouldn't need to lean heavily into what LeBron does on both ends of the floor in the 82-game regular season. And so I'm just going to throw a bunch of teams out here. The Knicks, if you could just literally slide OG to the three and move LeBron in at the four, instantly becomes a top-tier championship contender. The Philadelphia 76ers, Tyrese Maxey, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid, that's a damn good team, right? The Oklahoma City Thunder, if you could put Shea, Jalen Williams, Lou Dort, LeBron James, Chet Holmgren, that instantly becomes a top-tier championship contender. The Timberwolves, if Kat falls apart in the later rounds, I don't actually think that's going to happen. I think Kat's playing really well, and I think he's going to play well for the rest of the playoffs. But if Kat were to fall apart and reveal some of his weaknesses in a series against, like, let's say Boston, then like if LeBron could sign a veteran minimum with the mid-level exception for the Timberwolves and kind of slide into that Karl Towns spot, that would be one that I would think would be interesting. The Dallas Mavericks, if you could put him at the four and slide PJ Washington to the three and go Kyrie, Luka, PJ Washington, LeBron James, Daniel Gafford / Derek Lively, that'd be fun. The Milwaukee Bucks, a LeBron James Giannis front court would be really interesting to look at as they would try to get faster. And then lastly, the Miami Heat. A Jimmy LeBron Bam front court would be really versatile on both ends of the floor. So again, those are a bunch of options, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think LeBron's going to stay with the Lakers. What do you think with the Clippers going into their new arena? Kawhi can't stay healthy and you can't depend on PG and Harden. So I think you have to go in there for one season. And I thought it was interesting. I think it was Lawrence Frank I heard talking about this the other day. But like he was basically saying like, yeah, he hasn't been healthy for the last four seasons. But what if he's healthy next season? And it's like, yeah, what if he is? Right. And obviously, that's an absurd logic if you're not going into a new arena. And I would look to pivot if that was the case. But you're going into a new arena. You probably sold a bunch of pre-sale stuff centered around that whole move. I think you got to run it back next year with everybody. But if it goes south next season, then you absolutely have to pivot from there. Two questions from this gentleman. Is the NBA setting an extremely problematic precedent by not suspending Jamal Murray? No, $100,000 is a lot of money. That, trust me, that's something Jamal Murray's gonna feel, in the sense that, like, again, everyone acts. I think $100,000, even to an NBA player, is a really heavy fine. Two, like, it sends a clear message, right? Like, that's not acceptable. Two, Jamal Murray's embarrassed. He got embarrassed in that game. So there's a lot of, like, court of public opinion type of punishment that he's getting. And then three, I don't like suspending the second best player on the team. For the record, I understood why the league suspended Draymond Green in game 5 of the 2016 NBA Finals. But, like, ideally, you want to keep the best players on the floor and at least let the games be decided by the players and not, you know, some sort of weird thing like that. Again, if I'm Minnesota, I want to beat Denver and know that I beat them at full strength. I don't want to beat them because one of the guys had to sit out in a pivotal game like game 3. Second question, are the Wolves showing the NBA the value of defense first team building, even at the cost of offense and shooting? I think it's less about defense first and more about size, strength, and athleticism, physicality, and toughness. I think that's a big thing. There's a question that I have coming up later talking about specific. I'll just get forward to it, actually, if I can find it. Hey, Jason, in your opinion, given that the playoffs seem to have a raised level of urgency and intensity, what are three skills and attributes you look for in upcoming prospects that are usual indicators that their game would translate to the playoffs? Love the breakdowns. Keep it up. Toughness, athleticism, and basketball IQ is what I wrote down. And it's the very same type of reasoning. Are you tough? Are you the kind of guy that can get punched in the face and, like, maintain your cool and start punching back? Or are you the guy that's going to wilt, get emotional, start blaming people, and lose control of the situation? That's a big one. Size, strength, and athleticism is a big part of your ability to thrive in those specific environments. The Timberwolves, the defense first thing, to me, that's more about coaching and accountability from the top down from day one. That's a, like, there's guys on that roster, guys like Naz Reid, guys like Carl Towns, guys like Mike Conley. There are a lot of guys on that team that aren't historically good defensive players that are playing really good defense. And a big part of that is the coaching staff and the culture that the team has built. But again, I would be a team building. I think a big thing that I'd be looking at is, like, toughness and physicality, just like mental toughness, like guys that are capable of thriving in uber physical environments in terms of just their competitiveness and their strength and size, like we talked about earlier. Hey, Jason, appreciate your work as always. This is the first time the Nuggets have faced some type of adversity in the playoffs since last year, and they have not responded well. Do you think the Nuggets come out in game 3 and 4 and provide that fight back? I do. I think the 3 days off helps a lot. It's 3 days to sit there and just think about how embarrassed you are. I think that game 3 in particular is a game that Denver is going to come out and throw a great punch. I'm not saying they're going to win. It's going to be a really difficult game to win. It's going to be a really difficult game to win because Minnesota is playing awesome basketball and they're at home and they smell blood. So it's not going to be an easy game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota won. But I do look at that game as more or less as a coin flip. And that comes from a point of respect. I have a lot of respect for the Denver Nuggets and what they've achieved over the course of the last couple of years. I think that they are going to come out with a championship level of competitiveness in game 3. I think they're going to fight. I think they're going to be physical. I think they're going to try like hell. Do I think they're going to win the series? No, just simply because it's really difficult to do so. To beat this team 4 times out of 5 when the first 2 are on the road, it's just going to be really challenging. So I don't think Denver is going to win the series, but I do think they give a much, much better fight in game 3. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got one of these next 2 games. Has this playoff run by Jokic and the Nuggets completely ruined their reputation within the league, and will this alter their legacy? So again, if we let's just, for the sake of this question, pretend that the Wolves either sweep them or they lose in 5, but it's ugly. And, like, Jamal Murray doesn't look good, and Nikola Jokic continues to be passive and average like 17 points a game and not be good defensively. Okay. If that were to happen, it is absolutely a black mark on their legacy if that were to happen. I mean, Nikola Jokic he may not want to be in these conversations, but he is. By virtue of his dominance of the league, he has put himself into conversations with all-time greats. Now, the reality is, if you zoom out from all these guys, they all have black marks on their resume, right? Like, Magic Johnson had ugly moments in the playoffs. LeBron James has had ugly moments in the playoffs. Michael Jordan has ugly moments in the playoffs. Kobe Bryant has had ugly moments in the playoffs. They've all had ugly moments in the playoffs. So, like, it is a part of it. But again, as you zoom out from their careers, there's a lot more good than bad. Like, they have ugly moments, but LeBron has four championships. Kobe has ugly moments, but he's got five championships. MJ has ugly moments, but he has six championships. Magic Johnson has ugly moments, but he has five championships. And so again, right now, Jokic, one championship. And so if he was on this trajectory where it's like, I'm dominating the league, I'm winning my third MVP in 4 years, I just was the most dominant NBA Finals MVP, in many years, like, I've got all this working for me. If he loses this year and then he continues to lose, then yeah, he's now put himself in a totally different tier. Now he's looking more like the Dirk Nowitzki type of tier than he is looking like a all-time, like the guys that are the Pantheon guys at the top of the league. But again, I think that it will be a black mark if they were to lose, but I'd also expect Jokic to come back next year and still be awesome. And like, all it takes is some matchup stuff, an injury here, an injury there, and the Nuggets could be right back in the finals in 2025. And so, like, again, I think it's foolish to write these guys off. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember when the Warriors kind of fell apart towards the end with Klay Thompson's injury and Kevin Durant's injury. There were all these LeBron fans and other fans from around the league that came out of the woodwork and started laughing and pointing at the Warriors for falling apart, and then they won the title in 2022. And without a substantial talent advantage. So, like, again, like, don't write off these great players even after they have ugly stretches. I think it will be bad, and they will, Jokic and the rest of those guys will deserve a ton of criticism if they were to lose this series in embarrassing fashion. But at the same time, I do think they're competitors and they would bounce back. One last piece on it. Like, there was an element of cockiness from Denver. Michael Malone has carried himself in press conferences over the course of the last 2 years with a brashness and an arrogance. And it's fine because winners are brash and arrogant generally, right? But like, it could just serve to humble them in a certain way and help them focus on the right things going into future seasons. I think it could be good for them in the long run, but no doubt it would be embarrassing and no doubt it would be a black mark on their stories. What do you think of Austin Rivers saying NBA players could play in the NFL? I was talking about this with Ryan. He's our executive producer here at The Volume this morning. I think it's one of the most ridiculous discussions I've ever heard. Like, both sides have stupid kind of like foundations to their opinion. Like, NFL guys are like, NBA players could never handle the physicality. Yeah, you're right. The NFL is a completely different sport. Like, the way you lift and weight train to play in the NFL is fundamentally different than what you do in the NBA. NBA is so much more about like balance training and like flexibility. There's still strength training, but it's very different than what you do in the NFL. Like, any NBA player, if you wanted to play in the NFL, would have to do like a 2 year like strength training regimen, right? And then one of the things that NBA players always say is they'll be like, well, we're the best athletes in the world. And it's like, no, you're not. Some of the most ridiculous dunks I've seen in my life were playing at the University of Arizona Rec Center against Division I level wide receivers who are just like disgusting athletes. Like, the athleticism is relatively equal across the board. The biggest part that makes it stupid, though, is like, of course NFL players are not skilled enough. Because that's the other thing the NBA players will say is like, they're not skilled enough to play in the NBA. You're right. It's the same thing as the weight training. Like, if I took Calvin Johnson and from day one just ran him through ball handling and shooting drills and trained him to be a basketball player, he'd be a dominant NBA player. But if I took Russell Westbrook or LeBron James and from day one had them lifting on an NFL regimen and then training in physical environments for the NFL, they'd be able to play in the NFL. So it's like, so much of it is like, yeah, of course, you trained for this different sport your entire life. That's going to have an impact on whether or not you could play in a completely different sport, right? Like, it's foolish to me. You standing on this take, it was someone I had a take about Jokic dominating the league. I think I said something along the lines of like, the gap between Jokic and his peers right now is bigger than the gap that Steph or KD ever had over their peers. I am standing on the take simply because Steph and KD never dominated their peers the way that Jokic did last year. That's just true. The second piece of it, though, is Ant is rising and Jokic has not played well for two games. But like, we'll have a different conversation about it if Jokic falls apart the rest of this series. But it's not over yet. He has a chance, right? And for whoever wrote this particular question, I have a whole video breaking down my criticism of Nikola Jokic in the Game 2 film breakdown. And I also put it on my Twitter feed. It's like 7 minutes long. You can find it on my Twitter feed. But like, I am holding Jokic to the best player in the world standard. That is something I try to do consistently for any player who fills that position. And I'm doing the same with Jokic. Two more questions. Are the Timberwolves the best defense we've seen in recent years? Yes, it's the best defense I've ever seen. The previous one from my, because again, I was too young. I was like 13 years old when the 04 Pistons were doing what they were doing early in the league. And I didn't really get exposed to basketball until around that age. And so I don't really have much of an opinion on them. But the previous team that I was most impressed with defensively was the 2022 Boston Celtics. Under Ime Udoka, they were so tough and they were incredibly focused on the defensive end. It was the best defense I ever saw Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum play. The only weakness in their defense was transition, and it more had to do with their offensive execution and making poor rim decisions and having poor floor balance. This Minnesota team, though, has reached an additional level above that. And the big piece of it is rim protection. Like Rudy Gobert anchoring that behind, It just is unbelievable. But I think they're just a better version of that 2022 Boston Celtics team when they would have like Robert Williams on the floor, for instance. Last question. With your philosophy that the best player in the world is the one that hoists the trophy, if the Wolves win the championship and Ant is going to be the best player in the world, will you look at him or Jokic as being the best? By the way, love your content. It's a blessing having a voice like you in NBA media. Once again, thank you. All of you guys who wrote kind words. Again, I always say this, but like, every single one of you guys who writes kind words in the comments, those more than drown out the assholes who just do nothing but bitch and moan underneath my videos every single day. So like, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys for supporting the show. I continue to be blown away with the support that I've received over the last couple of years. It's very humbling. I had never in a million years thought I'd be in this position. So I just want to say thank you to you guys again. I always look at the best player in the world conversation as two fronts. There's the bragging rights, best player in the world, who deserves the recognition. And then there's the in a vacuum, devoid of other factors, who's the best basketball player. I think I would still lean towards Jokic as in the vacuum, the best basketball player, even if Ant ran away and won the championship. But Ant would certainly deserve the bragging rights. And I really want to see how his numbers hold up over the course of this postseason. He's averaging like 30 or something like that efficiently. And he's hitting a bunch of big shots in big moments too. If he maintains that through Boston or whoever comes out of the East, if he like beats Denver, beats OKC, Dallas, beats Boston, New York, Indiana, whoever, if he gets to that point and he beats those guys and he beats them soundly, then I like, and he maintains like 30 points per game, elite perimeter defense, efficient shot making, alpha dog mentality, I think Ant enters into the tier with Jokic and those guys. But again, I really want to see how the basketball looks. No matter what, though, whoever hoists the trophy in his finals MVP, he gets bragging rights. That guy gets to actually get respected as the best player in the world, even if he maybe not, even if he maybe isn't in a vacuum.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Hi, my name's Josh. I'm from the podcast The Imperfects, where we interview well-known people who look like they have perfect lives, but like most of us, in fact, all of us, they're often far from it. We interview people like James Clear and Adam Grant.
What do you do with the feeling of being an imposter? It's really tempting to trust your own judgment over other people's. What you're forgetting is that other people see you more objectively. And I think what that means is if multiple people believe in you, it's probably time to believe them.
Search for The Imperfects on the podcast app you're listening on.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.